The Lord is risen.
He is risen.
And with that greeting, we join a throng of believers throughout the centuries and around the world that celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord is risen.
He is risen.
On behalf of the staff and the leadership of First Presbyterian Church of New Smyrna Beach, I extend to you our best wishes for a happy and blessed Easter Day celebration. There was a story I read after the call of worship had been pronounced that started up an Easter Sunday morning service at a small East Texas church. The choir started to walk down the central aisle of the church, and they were singing, "Up from the grave he arose with the mighty." You know that song? Yeah, we're going to sing it next week. The first lady was wearing shoes with very slender heels, and as she came down the center aisle, she got to where the air conditioning intake was, and her heel went right into it, and without even pausing, she just kept walking and pulled the grate with her, which is fine. Everybody was okay, you know, not wishing to hold up the whole celebration without missing a step. She just kept on going, clock-like precision. But then one of the guys in the back was looking down at his hymn book a little too much, and he fell right into the hole, right, pow, right in the air conditioning duct. Everything was going on around him, everything was happening, and people were like, "Oh my gosh, what happened to Charlie?" You know? Well, after the song was over with, you heard this voice come up from the floor. It said, "I hope y'all are out of the way up there because I'm about to come out." A little girl sat next to the aisle said, "Come on, Jesus, we're out of the way." Yeah, the simple faith of a little girl, the faith to expect Jesus to be present, to expect Jesus to do great things. This whole idea of celebration and rejoicing and even a little bit of frivolousness about a little bit out of the comfort zone for most Presbyterians. I mean, laughing and clapping at church, balloons, live chicks, sharing of handshakes, hugs, you know, all these things, they're not historically Presbyterian. I don't know, maybe it's because of our Scottish roots, I don't know, but we like to come into church unnoticed, the best seats being, of course, in the back row. And then when worship is over, we like to file out. Someone has once described Presbyterians as God's frozen chosen. Yeah. One Sunday, the paramedics were called to a local Presbyterian church because a man had a heart attack in the back row and died, and the paramedics worked on four guys before they found the right one. Yeah. Of course, you know, death is no laughing matter, and we have had a lot of deaths in the news and still continuing to be talked about. You pick up the newspaper these days, it's a dangerous thing to your spirit if you don't like bad news because it's filled with it. And within this church, we have said goodbye to many members and family members during the year, and I can't help but think that there will be families with an empty chair at their table this year at Easter that last year that chair was filled. And I apologize for throwing a wet blanket on all of the duckies and bunnies and joy in the morning, but Easter does not begin in a place of life. It always begins in a place of death. And it doesn't begin in a patch of Easter lilies, but in a pile of dust. The story of the Passion of Christ makes for wonderful television, and that's because it is essentially a linear story, one event progressing to the next event until the conclusion of the story. We like it that way. We'd like to understand things that way. But the problem for us is we do not look at it like that because we know the ending. Does it ever bug you? I will watch a movie over and over again. Deborah does not do that. She comes in and she says, "What are you watching?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm watching so-and-so again." And she's like, "I'm going to go do laundry or something." Because she does not like to jump in the middle of it. I can watch it over and over again because I know the ending. And that's why she doesn't want to watch. I know it's going to end. You've seen the History Channel, everything on it forever. I get a lot of trouble about that. But we know the end of the story, and that changes everything. Knowing the end of the story means that the tension, the darkness that surrounded the people at that time, the despair in the hearts of the disciples, we want to say it doesn't matter because we know everything will turn out right. On Friday, when the sky turned dark, they took Jesus' limp body down from the cross and laid him in an empty tomb. because the Jewish Sabbath was beginning at sundown, and the friends of Jesus could not perform the traditional rite of embalming the body with spices. That's why Mary made her way to the tomb early on Sunday morning. And walking alone in darkness, her arms filled with spices, her heart breaking with grief, she arrives at the tomb and finds, finds a curious reality. Someone has removed the stone. The cave is open where Jesus' body was laid. The large stone disc that had been rolled into place on Friday was moved, and she immediately jumped to the conclusion that grave robbers had stolen the body. It's an insult added to injury, the thought that someone might desecrate the body of someone whom Mary had loved so much. So she runs back to the place where the disciples are hiding and reports the news to Peter and John, who sprint back to the tomb. But Peter and John found other evidence, grave cloths wrapped and lying in the corner. Grave robbers wouldn't neatly fold the burial shroud, so there must have been another explanation. But as John writes in today's gospel, as yet they did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. And so they return to their friends. But Mary stays behind. Why? To grieve. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that when a loved one dies, people grieve so differently? I've been to so many funerals and funeral receptions and luncheons, and so often family members and friends are seated together, and there's healthy laughter and healthy crying and a lot of both as they are surrounded by their support system. But there's often one person who goes off and sits alone, one who stands apart from everyone else, one who wanders back into the sanctuary to weep in solitude. Grandpa died, or a sister, or an aunt. And these mourners simply need to be left alone. This is Mary. She just needs to be left alone in her grief. And while she's weeping, she peers into the tomb, and she didn't see a grave with cloths in it. She saw angels, and there were two of them. And then she heard a voice, woman, why are you weeping? She thought it was a gardener and asked what he had done with Jesus' body. And that's when Jesus spoke her name, Mary. Mary. Isn't it true that when a familiar voice says your name, we know who it is immediately? And when Jesus spoke Mary's name, she knew who it was. And she knew that he had risen from the dead. Now, you know, the four gospel writers each describe the resurrection in their own unique ways. In John's gospel, Mary goes to the grave alone. In Mark and Luke, several women go to embalm Jesus' body with spices. But Matthew says it was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, who went while it was still dark. And when they arrived, they were confronted by an angel who said, woman, I know you are looking for Jesus. He is not here. He is risen. And I would submit to you this morning that it is Matthew's version that speaks most directly to the human heart in the 21st century. And this is why. The women were wandering in the dark as they made their way to the tomb that first Easter day. Not just physical darkness, but emotional darkness as well. Sadness gripped them and would not let them go. But that wasn't even the worst part. They had believed in Jesus with all their heart. And when he died on Friday, all their hopes were gone. What in the world were they going to do now? Most of the followers of Jesus had left homes and families and careers and commitments for the sake of Jesus' ministry. The word for faith in Greek is pisteo, and it means that you place all of your eggs in one basket. If you're right, you gain everything. But if you are wrong, if the thing in which you have placed your trust is not the real thing, then you lose everything. Everything. What in the world would Jesus' followers do tomorrow? Now, maybe it's true in every generation, but these days I sense that many people's lives are spent wandering in that same darkness. It might be grief over the death of a loved one, or grief over some grand dream that went sour. Some people wander in darkness because of their own moral failure, or because they're failing health, or because someone else in the world has failed them. What do they do tomorrow? That is the sense of emptiness in which Mary finds herself as she approaches Jesus' tomb that first Easter day. But the angel who met her there offered an astounding word. I know you are looking for Jesus. They weren't really. They were just going about the routine task of burying a person on a dark Sunday morning, just going through the motions, doing what had to be done. They weren't, quote, looking for Jesus. And perhaps the same can be said for you this morning. You're not here looking for Jesus. You're here because your wife said you had to be here. Or your mom, you're not going to get any honey-baked ham if you don't come. Or maybe you're here because your parents said that the Easter basket was off limits until after church. Or maybe you're not even sure why you are here. Just sort of wandered in. Just wandered in the darkness. But here you are. And I realize it sounds presumptuous of me to say that I know you were looking for Jesus, but maybe that's exactly what it is. You have sought fulfillment, and so have I in the things of this world. And if you have not, and if they have not failed us, then they have at least not brought us the sort of gratification we thought they would. Whether we have succeeded or failed, whether we are the picture of health or gasping for life, whether surrounded by people we love or wandering through this world so very, very alone, there is a realization that there has to be more. There has to be more to life than this, and there is. Several decades ago, the great Billy Graham, who we said goodbye to this year, and we'll see him again, but he was at a rally in Central Park in New York, and on the day of the rally, there was a full-page ad in the New York Times with huge letters that said, "Life. You're born, you suffer, you die." But there's a loophole. I love that. There is a loophole because Jesus is not dead. The stone was rolled away so that we could look in. It was rolled away so that the empty tomb could be visible to everyone. The empty tomb is the greatest evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Cynics and critics have tried to explain it away, and they have not been able to do it. The empty tomb still stands as evidence that all Jesus said came true, and he is not dead. He is alive. 5-year-old Jimmy was in the kitchen as his mother made dinner, and she asked him to go into the pantry and get her a can of tomato soup, but he didn't want to go in alone. It's dark in there and kind of scary. So she asked him again, and he still refused. And finally she said, "Okay, Jimmy, I promise you, Jesus will be in there with you." Jimmy walked over to the door, slowly opened it. He peeked inside, saw that it was just pitch dark. He started to leave when he had a great idea. He said, "Jesus, if you're in there, would you mind handing me a can of tomato soup?" "If you're in there," Jimmy said. But the stone was rolled away. We can look inside those dark and scary places in our lives to see if Jesus is in there. But he's not. Because Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, today, what is today? I know, what else is it? Really, it's Easter? I needed to know that, thank you. It's April Fool's Day. Now, I try to find out the stories behind all kinds of stuff, but the story behind this doesn't matter. But it's April Fool's Day. This is the greatest April Fool's joke the world has ever, ever known. Because you realize that on Friday evening and on Saturday, everything evil, everything dark, everything that we hate, everything that we are afraid of, everything was celebrating. They were throwing a party. You think our party is big this morning? Their party was greater because, well, they did a lot more drinking. It was a horrible, horrible thing, but they were happy. Jesus was dead. And then Sunday morning, God says, "Oh, guess what? No, Jesus is alive." And not only is he alive to the people back then, he's alive to you today. You see, this resurrection story, do you think there were other resurrections? Somebody told me one time, the thing that sets Christianity apart is that our Savior was raised from the dead. A lot of people were raised from the dead. You've read your Bible, haven't you? You read some of the stories even of Easter, and when Jesus was raised, was killed on the cross, the graves opened up and people came out and there were witnesses that saw them. So there are many stories of resurrection. But they all died. They eventually would die. And God raises Jesus Christ never to die again to remind you of the same. See, the difference is, say, Lazarus or Jairus' daughter, raised from the dead, right? But not for me. Not for you. They were just raised from the dead. The difference is
Jesus' resurrection becomes personal. It is for you. To tell you that we will see Billy Graham someday. You will see that person that you love. This is not the end. This is not the end of the story. This isn't even hardly the beginning of the great story. Because of God's great April Fool's joke on the devil, everything that was dark, everything, and he said, nope, guess what? He's alive. So today, to celebrate, let's gather together. The loophole is Jesus Christ. He is not dead. He is alive. And all the promises that he made to his disciples, he now makes to us, that if we believe in him, we have forgiveness for our sins and a purpose for living and a future when we die. In the end, though this day starts in a place of death, it ends with a promise of a resurrection for every single one of us who believe in Jesus Christ. The darkness has ended, the light has come, the Savior has risen from the dead, and so shall we. If you are looking for Jesus today, guess what? He found you. He found you, and may this truth give your life meaning and purpose and joy. Happy Easter, everybody. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let us pray. Our Father, we are filled with so much today, so much that we want to express. We want to shout and dance and know that everything that we suffer, everything that we see that is darkness in this world will pass away, and the goodness of your life will be ours forever. And that all that we have known, all those who have passed and are in your hands today, we shall see them again and join them. This is the greatest good news, and this is ours because of Jesus Christ, risen from the grave to life eternal. And it is in his holy name that we make this prayer. Amen.